Amen. And you may be seated. Praise God. It's good to be in the house tonight. And I have a flood of memories. I was born and raised, so you will know. I was born and raised in Centralia. I spent that's a huge city down in southern Illinois. The first 18 years of my life, I thought the biggest cities in the world were Salem, Mount Vernon, and Centralia. It's just so good to be back and with Brother Calthorpe. And I appreciate him so much, the ministry that he has with this district, but then beyond with Urchin University and the many hats that he wears. And we were so blessed to have him out. He preached. Him and Brother Calvin Jean preach at our men's conference. We had two Illinois boys out. They did well. You can be proud of them. Our men enjoyed it so much. They fed our men. And so we honor him tonight. I thank God for his great ministry and his friendship. Brother Nave, so nice to meet you and the excellence that you serve with. All of our district board, I honor you. I apologize. I'm older than most of you. But anyway, I honor you tonight. Because the last time I was in this tabernacle, if you'll indulge me just for a moment, one of the most defining moments of my life, the calling of God came crashing down on me when I was 16 years old, and I was right over there in that aisle. I can go to the spot. There was not carpet on it. I remember what I was wearing. I fell to the floor. I was 16 years old. I felt the call of God. I didn't know what it was. The only thing I knew was I didn't want to be a preacher. I said, I'll make you a lot of money, God. Just let me go. I'll serve you all the days of my life. My uncle was a preacher. All that side of the family was preachers. I didn't want to do that. And I surrendered over there. And something fell on me. And I have never been the same. It happened right over there. My life was changed right over there. The last time that I can remember when I was in this tabernacle, I sat right here. I sat before air conditioning. I was at the first senior camp that was on when they built the tabernacle. The boys' dorm was partitioned off. The boys' dorm was in the back there. And when they built the campground under Brother Wolf, and many memories. And then I came back, went to Bible college, and at 21 I came back and I waited to get my license. And that night they must have had a humdinger of a board meeting, because I didn't get in to see the board to get my license till about 12:15 a.m. Saturday morning on a Friday night of camp meeting. But they gave me my license, so it was. And since then, God just threw me all over the country. I spent 10 years in the Deep South, evangelized for 5 years all over the U.S., and then we landed, felt so called to the mission field in California. Now that's, you might think California is a part of the U.S. It's really not. It's another country. Okay, it really is. It's a different culture. And be careful what you say about it, because in 10 years, Illinois will be just like it. That's the spirit of the world. It comes in on that Pacific Rim. And it's all, I see it back here all over now, traveling. But anyway, the Lord called us there. I feel very blessed tonight. I'm humbled to be here. I'm honored to be here. I need to recognize, I thank God for Brother Rick Faulkner. He was one of my right hands, and somehow God moved him back to Illinois. So I don't know. God moved me there, and then God moved him back here. But I appreciate you, Brother Faulkner. God bless you and for your faithfulness. And there's others I could mention, but because of the sake of time, I won't do that. You'll forgive me. But I'm so delighted to be here. That's one of my favorite songs. Every time they sing that song, and I hear it all over, they sing it at home, and it's just something about the presence of the Lord. And as I was standing up here, I thought, that's the same power of God that I felt so many decades ago right over here. I was a young punk, 16 years old, and God knocked me down. It was my Damascus Road experience. And I thank God for our elders that built this camp. I am pro-Illinois. Young people have their lives changed at youth camps. Hallelujah. And I am sanctified, proud to see how does it continue to progress and the new buildings here, and I'm thrilled to be here. I do have a word that I feel like the Lord's given me for you. If you would stand tonight, we'll go to the word of the Lord. And I'm going to make myself at home because I feel the presence of God. I want to be a blessing to everybody in this house, especially the ministers, but also to everybody else that's hungry for God. Everybody hungry for God, say amen. Is there anybody here who would like to have some more joy of the Lord? Would that be okay? I wonder if you would like to have more anointing on your life. I've come to ask you that. I wonder if you would like to have some more wisdom from above in your life right now to give you direction. Well, all of this we know is in the presence of the Lord. And I want to turn your attention to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. And I'll begin reading at verse number 8 and read through to verse 14. This is a story of Elijah and Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 8. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. And it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You have asked for a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and he tore them into two pieces. But he also took up the mantle. Somebody say the mantle. He took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Can you say amen to that word? I want to preach on this wise, a double portion ministry. A double portion ministry. Lord, I thank you for your word. It comes to us as hot coals off the altar of heaven today. I thank you for this great people, for these precious leaders, Lord, for the progress of the kingdom of God, Lord, in Illinois. I thank you, Lord, for the anointed worship, Lord, that has brought us deep into your presence tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, that for several people here, what you did for me years ago, you would do for them tonight, and that a minister, a brother, a sister, would be impacted, Lord, by your word and your anointing that would change their life. I rebuke any darkness out of this place in Jesus' name. I loose, Lord, your Holy Ghost come in here. I know there's angels in this room. Have your way in this room tonight. We sit in heavenly places in your presence tonight, God. I pray, God, that as the word of the Lord goes forth, that people would be healed in their body, in their soul, in their spirit. I pray that all of us would leave here forgiven with no sin in our heart. I pray that everybody would leave here full of the Holy Ghost. And I pray those blessings in Jesus' name. Let signs follow in Jesus' name. Everybody in favor of that, say amen. Say amen. God bless you as you are seated today. As Christians, we can become complacent and satisfied knowing that we are going to heaven. But God wants us to live an abundant life in the here and the now. You know, we got this next generation coming on, and they don't care about the next world. They want to know what they can get here on earth. The good news is for the next generation, the postmoderns that I love and deal with all the time out there on the West Coast, that you can have an experience in the kingdom of God now that lifts you above the trouble of this world and it sets your mind in heavenly places. And you can experience the blessing of God while you're on this earth. Hallelujah. If we will go after God, chase after him, there is a greater anointing. Just like Elisha went after Elijah and boldly asked for a double portion. If you are willing to put your own plans aside and seek out what God has for you, there is more. I've been reading all the words of Jesus, and I just want to read his words and find out, Jesus, what did you say? And he makes all of these audacious claims like Matthew 7:7. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And I don't know how he says, and we believe that. We know Jesus was God. We know that this is the word of God spoken to us. And yet, I don't know how. We get so carnal, we just feel like, well, that's for somebody else. But I want to preach that to you right now. Somebody needs to keep asking God for what you need. There is more for you. I still believe that the only power on earth that moves the hand of heaven is prayer. You know, I read this this illustration of a guy that he had a dream and he went to heaven. You might have heard it. He went to heaven. It really, really affected me. He went to heaven, and the Lord was walking him through heaven, and he went into this huge building. It was a vault, and it was stories high, just up. And there was files in that, and it was just huge, a cavern. He couldn't see the end of it. And he looked and he said, Lord, what is all of this? And the Lord said to him, these are the unprayed prayers. These are the answers. They waited on that person. Their names are on it. They never prayed these prayers and they stayed in heaven. I'm not going to go to heaven without asking everything that I can get from God. I've been doing this stuff for a long time. I was over there at 16. That was 50 years ago. And I want to testify the Holy Ghost has made me hungrier tonight for God and a move of God than I had when I felt a calling at 16 years old. We need to keep asking and bombarding heaven. How long does it take for your unsaved son or daughter or your prodigal son or daughter to come home? I don't know, but I know this. You got to keep knocking on that door. Jesus says, ask and you will receive. He says, if you will keep seeking, you got to keep seeking. You got to keep hungry for God. And he said, you will find it. And if you'll keep knocking on the doors, they're going to open before you. Elisha had served Elijah for 6 years, and it got towards the end of that 6 years, and Elisha had a lot of memories of the calling on his life when that mighty prophet of Israel came and found him, and there's this symbol of the cloak, the mantle, and he comes to him, the old prophet comes to him, and Elisha was a good farmer, and there was 12 yoke of oxen, and he was farming one of them, and the prophet just came and threw his cloak, his mantle over him. That was a sign. That was a symbol that I am calling you. If you want it, if you would like to have a life of supernatural miracles and have the blessing of God on you more than anybody else, you get under that cloak and you follow me. And you know, you remember that story, and Elisha said, let me go home right now. Let me go tell my parents. I know what this means. And the old prophet said, you can do whatever you want to with it. But just understand now, I put my cloak on you, and I'm going that away. And the Bible said that he slew the oxen for a sacrifice, and he burnt the plow to get the plows that destroyed him to get a fire going, and he built an altar right there. And the prophet watched that. He thought, if this young man can learn how to live of sacrifice, he'll be able to be mightily used of me. I'm preaching to an America right now that doesn't like sacrifice. I'm preaching to people all over. And it's not just back in California. It's everywhere. We want our rights, and we want everybody to give us a free ride. I want to tell every one of you, there's plenty of room at the top for you to be used in the kingdom of God. The only person holding you back is you.
Don't you be blaming your pastor. Don't you come in here and say, well, you know what? The music wasn't right or the preacher wasn't. Stop all that stuff. You need to learn how to pray and get a hold of a sacrifice and say, they sacrificed for the generation before me. I need a sacrifice for the generation now coming after me. If comfort is our highest aim, we will never know of the glory of God. When I was over there and when I was 16, I remember I had a brand new black suit on. And the Lord said, you get down. I said, God, you can touch me right here. And it was like, it was a surrender thing. It was surrender. I remember there was dust on the floor. I thought, but after I wept and cried and snotted, I had an experience with God. I got up from there. I didn't know what color my suit was. Everything, this looked like the Crystal Cathedral. Everything looked different. Because if you'll learn to give a sacrifice to God, God will bless you beyond measure. And I want to tell you something. God wants to bless you beyond measure. God wants there to be a revival in church growth in Big Bad Chicago, but in every village, every hamlet, every city, every town. Let's turn Illinois over to heaven and let the kingdom of God rule here. Don't say there's not enough of us. If you'll get a hold of God, if you'll sacrifice your life for somebody else, God will put his glory on you. You'll walk away. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost here. Somebody needs to clap your hands right now. Yeah, it's a mantle. It's a holy mantle in the spirit, and it's here tonight. Elisha followed him for 6 years, waited on him hand and foot. He knew he was a man of God. He was happy to be a servant. He was happy to serve somebody older than him. I hear this noise about, well, you know what, the older generation, that's in the world. That's not in the church. You don't get old in the church. You get more of God. You don't retire out of the kingdom of God. You refire in the kingdom of God. All through history, the Old Testament, New Testament, they honored men and women that had wisdom. They lived long on this life. And now I'm in the Old Testament, and here this sharp young man is following this old preacher. And he knows that. Elijah is always under the spout where the glory comes out. I'm going to be next to him. They left Gilgal, and here was a test. Here was a test. And let me just say this. You don't get a testimony without going through the test. I feel some pain. I don't know if I can do this. No. We get it wrong, see. Now, I've learned a lot now in all these years serving God. I'm gonna give you some of the best I got tonight. This is what I believe. God is more in the refining business than he is in the blessing business. See, he has this idea for your life. He wants you to be your best. He wants you to be able to give him the most glory. He wants you to let him. See, when we got saved, got full of the Holy Ghost, we signed up to say, hey, get the pruning shears out. Like my old grandpappy used to do at that peach orchard down there in Marion County. Get the pruning shears out and cut off some limbs here and throw them in the fire, because you don't need that. That's holding you back. You could bear more fruit. I don't know about you. I want as much fruit as I can give to the Lord. I don't want to stand up there with a Kmart bag and say, well, Lord, you gave me one talent and I buried it. No. The little talent I have, I want to give it to God. I want to see some fruit on there. And I've learned through the years, the Lord has to cut down some things sometimes. We go through the fire of suffering. That's why that song communicates, because there's some shearing going on. And you lose some things that you think are so important to you, and you say, but I was getting fruit there. You got to keep reading what Jesus said. He said, I'm going to prune you so that you can bear fruit, and then I'm going to come back and prune you again so that you can bear more fruit. And then I'm going to come back and start fooling with you again so you can bear much fruit. It's all about fruit. It's all about the glory of God. It's all about being in a vessel of honor. It's all about people looking at you and saying, I see Jesus in there. Before you tell me about Acts 2:38, you tell me how you can live above sin. You got a witness on you. You're a character witness. You've got an anointing. You've got a mantle. Tell me about that. So the old prophet gives him a test. He said, well, I'm going to Bethel. You stay here. He told him, you stay here. That was a test. And the young preacher said, oh, no, I'm not staying here. Wherever you go, you're going to Bethel. I'm going with you. They got to Bethel. We're there for a while. Okay, Elijah said, you stay here. I'm going to Jericho. And Elijah said, oh, no,
No, wherever you go, sir, I'm hanging with you. Wherever you're at, I'm going with you. Finally, he said, I'm going to the Jordan. He said, well, I'm going with you to the Jordan. The Bible school boys were there, 50 of them. You know, they were there. You will always have people that will try to slow you down. You will always have people, especially if you're young, that will say, who do you think you are? You really think you're going to be used of God? You know, you're a holy Joe. Man, we need some holy Joes and holy Josephines. We need them, man. We need that. We need some young people that are so self-defined. They say, you know what? If you want to throw your life away, have at it. I'm going this away. You don't want to go with me? I'm going this away. I'm following Jesus. He's been better to me than I've been to myself. I'm following right out. And I'm going to testify here. God will take you to places you never dreamed you would go. Listen to my testimony. God will take you to places. He'll bless you. He'll honor you. None of us deserve it. You cannot serve God without God blessing you back. When I was a kid, my dad, he'd make the three of us boys, Tim, Tony, and Tom, repeat after me. It pays to serve Jesus. It pays to serve Jesus. What is that? Little kids. It pays to serve Jesus. We get blessed. I had a grit newspaper route. Okay, there's four of us know what to. Yeah, I'm not talking about grits that you eat. I'm talking about the grit newspaper. And I made $5. He said, you paying your tithe? I said, on $5? He said, I didn't give you that. You made that money. He said, 10% of that belongs to God. So I said, yeah, but you can't put quarters in the tithing envelope. Yeah, you can. I had five $1 bills. He said, oh, I got change. I'm on a time clock tonight, and I just, because I got a lot. You put that in your kids, that mantle, that there's more for you. More for you. I did stuff back then. I don't know if it's still this way. All we did, you went to church, you ate good food, you laughed, and you played basketball or football. That's all you did. And so I made the city basketball team, and I came back, and now this is back in the day. You pastor however you want to pastor. I mean, it's all good. And so, and I said, you're not gonna believe it. I made the Tigers basketball team, man. It's awesome. There's 10 grade schools, and they chose me from our school. He said, you talk to your uncle about that? I said, I don't want to talk to my uncle. You're my dad. I know what my uncle was gonna say, Jonathan Urshan, the pastor. I know what he was gonna say. I said, you're my dad. You ought to be proud of me. He said, let me tell you something. I'm not raising you to be an Egyptian. I'm like, what does that mean? What is this? Code for what? What is that? You know, I'm a seventh grader. What's that mean, Dad? Oh, you don't know the Bible? No, I'm raising you to serve God. Well, yeah, but we're not going to play. No, and the thing, back in that time, we came to church five nights out of the week, man. We youth service, prayer service, Bible study, choir. We were there all the time. And we lived a block from the church. We walked to church all the time. We were there all the time. And there was one day that we had free for me to even have practice on. He said, no, I don't want you to miss youth service. I said, oh, youth service. I'll be there for Bible study. He said, no, you're a youth. You need to be in youth service. But see, there was a drive there. That was a test. I resented that. That was some of my problem over here when I was 16. I resented that. I thought, I don't want to be different than everybody else. But he hammered something into the three of us. You are to serve God all the days of your life. Brother Colfar, I remember coming home and saying, you know what, there's other kids in the church, they're doing this, I'm going to go do it with them. He said, oh, no, you're not. I said, why not? He said, what's your last name? I told him. He said, well, it's not Koppel. He said, you're my son. I'm setting the standard in this house. No. I'm the one that feeds you and puts clothes on. And he'd go into that thing. I thought, okay, here we go. And as long as you're parking your shoes under my table and I'm feeding you and I'm clothing you, you will go to church. You will do what I tell you to do. When you leave, you can do whatever you want. But while you're here on my watch, I'm going to put some iron inside of you, kid. I'm going to put something. There's going to be a calling that it's going to be easy for you to hear from God because you're going to learn how to pray. Oh, yeah. You're going to come with me to the altar and pray. You're going to learn how to pay your little 50 cents tithe. You're going to learn because I'm training you to be used of God. He was with him at the Jordan. After the translation, Elisha watched carefully for that descending mantle. When his hand took the mantle, a double portion of Elijah's spirit came on him.
but Elisha and the miracles that he would accomplish, twice as many as Elijah, were separated from him by that Jordan River. These waters served as a hindrance or a barrier to the success of Elisha's ministry and his achievements in God's kingdom. You know, oftentimes in the Old Testament, water served as a barrier. Moses, you remember, he brought the 2.5 million people out of Egypt, and they're out in the desert. They're moving as fast as they can with children, and he sees the enemy is coming behind him, and he on both sides of the mountains, you know the story, in the Red Sea's in front of him, and he didn't know what he was going to do. They could not go beyond that Red Sea, and when he got to it, the Lord said, raise that anointed staff. And when he raised up that staff, that rod over the waters rolled back, and the children of Israel walked through on dry land. I want to tell you this. The waters didn't part until he got up to the Red Sea. Now, you know what my problem is, and maybe two or three of you? We want God to show us the whole package 10 years in advance. You tell me how you're going to do it, and then I'll follow you, God. But until then, I'm in a relocation right now, and we're building our third church out there, and it's not cheap. The median home price where I live right now is it's over $900,000. That's for a 3-bedroom, 1.5-bath house, okay? And it's a very expensive area to live. And it's so easy for me to feel like, you know what, it's just not going to happen here. And the Lord will knock me around and say, what do you mean it's not going to happen here? Nothing's going to happen because you're here. But if you depend on me, you got a mantle on you. It's going to happen when I want it to happen. And I've sitting out for 30, why did I say for 33 years? I've watched some miracles take place. The devil can never take that away from God, has done what God's done for our people. The people that have been saved in jail, in the prisons, that brought right out of that, now they're evangelists, licensed ministers preaching the gospel. But you see, we want God to open it up right now. I want to tell you something. You're going to have to get right up there with your nose on the Red Sea. You get up there and pray over it, and you're going to watch the waters part. And God's got an anointing for you, and it's going to take you through. Don't worry about the money. Be honest with God. Pay your tithe. Stop worrying about the money. You know what's behind money? The spirit of mammon. And it tells all of us, we just don't have enough money. That's a spirit. It's the spirit of mammon. Jesus came to destroy that. He owns a cattle of 1,000 hills and all the gold in the hills. You can't outgive him. But if we don't pray into that double portion, we're always intimidated. How are we going to do this? How are we going to make it? There's missionaries here. How are we going to make it? How are we going to make it? God has an anointing for you. Joshua, Moses' successor, he came with the next generation of Israel. They came to the edge of the promised land after they came out of bondage and wandered for 40 years. And he came, that same Jordan came to the Jordan River, and they wondered, how can we cross over? It was different in his generation. Not everything has to be exactly the same. The message doesn't change, but I want to tell you, this next generation, they're Looney Tunes. And we just can't say that, but we got to work with them. The two generations that I'm working with now following me. And so when they got to the edge of the Jordan, Joshua had a memory thought, well, I got my staff here, and the Lord said, you get up to the edge of that water. And he said, now, here's the word. That's why you got to have a prayer life, because you got to know today what God wants you to do tomorrow. Today, you got to be ready for that. And when he got there to the Jordan, the Lord said, you have the priests now. When they came out of Egypt, they didn't have the Ark of the Covenant, but now you got a little box covered with gold, and my presence is inside of there. You let those priests walk into that. As soon as their feet touched the water, the Bible says that the Jordan rivers rolled back, and they walked along dry land. There's obstacles in our pathways, but if we keep trusting God and pressing on, there's a blessing beyond your comprehension right in front of you, but you got to keep moving. The kingdom of God is always forward. Now take that, go work on that for a week, pray through that. It's never backwards. As much as I appreciate everything that happened in my childhood, God is saying the kingdom of God is right now. The greatest revival there is, I'm going to say this to you right now, and I'm going to say it to you. There is a spiritual awakening happening all over the earth. It's happening on the coast, and it's happening in the Midwest. I was in Indiana a month ago. They're having a sweeping move of God over there. I want you to know there's a spiritual, people are hungry for God. They're sick of messed up politicians. They're sick of their drugs. They're sick of their immorality. They're doing all this stuff, but they're looking for something that's real. We have that. And that's why we've got to have an anointing that will break the yoke when we speak it. It's a flood. I'm preaching to you. There's a flood of people coming towards us. Somebody clap your hands if you believe that and thank God for it. They're coming. They're coming. We're not going to be surprised when they come. Elisha now faced the problem of getting across the Jordan. He had the mantle. He understood he must carry the ministry and fulfill the call of that great prophet. So he comes to the banks of the river and he looks at the waters. They're swelling. And he takes the mantle in his hand just like Elijah had done. And he cried out, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" He did not ask, "Where is Elijah? Where is Abraham? Where is Moses? Where is Joshua?" No, he said, "Where is the Lord God that Elijah served?" I want to thank God for every elder in this district. I owe a debt to this district. I want to thank God for MJ Wolf. Can I take just a moment? Brother Wolf, short statured man, great man of God. He had great faith and he had a good sense of humor. That's why he lasted as long as he did, especially working youth camps. And I remember I was here. I don't know if it was the first or second senior camp that I was here. And me and Bobby Cox got in trouble doing something. I don't know what we were doing. I can't even remember what. All I can remember was whoever the good camp counselor was that was so very pleased to march us over to Brother Wolf's little cabin right over there. "You stand right here." Man, these youth camp counselors, it's like they're this close to being a cop. They're not a real cop, but they think they're. I'm sorry. That's what the kids think at camp. Now, all the cops, you keep thinking you're a cop. But anyway, and so he marched us over there, and we're standing out there, you know, and I was 14 or 15, and we're standing there, and Sister Goldie Wolf comes to the door. She said, "Hello." And he said, "These boys are in trouble. They need to talk to Brother Wolf." She said, "Well, he's not here right now. You boys come on inside here." So we walked in here. "Okay, do I need to?" She said, "Oh, no, you don't need to stay. Just let him come in." We went inside. She said, "You boys like chocolate chip cookies?" I thought, man, the atmosphere changed. She said, "It only takes about 10 minutes. And she's in there, and Brother Wolf. He said, "How you boys doing? You enjoying the camp?" We're like, we didn't know. We thought we were. And he said, "Well, I heard you whatever you did down there, it was on the ball field or something." He said, "I heard what you did. I was scared to death, man. I was scared. I thought, he's going to call my dad. My dad's going to have to drive all the way up here and get me and send me home." And then it's always worse. Whenever I got corrected in school or at church, it was like double time when I got home. So I was like, oh. So I'm like, I didn't know what it meant, but I was pleading the blood in my heart. Like, God help us. And he said, "Now," and she came out, and Sister Goldie said, "Well, the cookies are done. You want to come in here?" He said, "Yeah, I'll sit in here." So we're sitting at the table drinking ice cold white milk and eating chocolate chip cookies. Good for the soul. And he said, "Bobby Cox, Tom Koppel, do I have your word that you'll never do that again?" I said, "Yes, sir. Bobby said, "Yes, sir. Never do it again." He said, "Okay." He said, "Well, finish up your cookies." He said, "You need to get out of here because church is getting ready to start." And he said, go back over there and get ready. He could have busted us. He had a right to. And unfortunately, sometimes we think when somebody gets in trouble, we really want to. But now when there's a mantle on you, when you have an anointing on you to help people, the goal in your life is not. This is what's difficult, is to be right in leadership and not hurt people with it. Huh? To be right, but not to hurt people with it. And that now I remember what happened there, but I also remember what happened in that cabin over there. And man, I came to church that night worshiping, thanking God. I thought,
And then Brother Wolf was like 10 foot tall after that. I was like, this is my dude. This is a great district superintendent. Hey, Uncle, man, he's doing a great job up there. Brother Wolf, he's a great guy. I was hoping, don't tell Uncle John and my dad what happened to us up here. But I owe a debt. And now it's so strange because now I'm wearing some of those shoes. And I see young people coming on. And they want somebody that will notice them, that has an anointing on their life, that says, you noticed me. And my job out there, I pastor on Sunday. We have three services, three different congregations, because we can't fit in the church all at one time. So I have the 9 o'clock service, and that's a congregation. And then I have the 11 o'clock service, and at 2 o'clock, that's a Spanish service. And so I go to those. I only preach the first two. I can't do the third one. They'd kill me. But I go, and my wife and I, we know what after all these years, we go and bless people and pray for people. There's people that come in, they're all messed up. They're high, they're messed up. There's all kind of messed up people. They are confused. I want to tell you this identity thing, you know, gender, all this stuff, same gender attraction, all this junk going on. And we can sit and make fun of all that, and I do. And you see, but the bottom line is, that's touching everybody. That's a spirit. And before we kill those people, we got to know that's a spirit of confusion. People are confused. Before you put them in hell, cast out the spirit of confusion in them. And they come, and they're worshiping God, and I'm thinking, God, the way I was raised, you just don't. But now, wait a minute. We're here until the rapture takes place, and God's got an anointing on his people. He's going to help us reach hungry souls. He's the one that does the saving, but we got to feed them the word of the Lord to help them where they're at. So that anointing came on him. We need to appreciate and know the God of our forefathers. Elisha took the mantle, struck the water. He crossed over. There's something in those words. He crossed over. Think of how many sincere men and women, I know a bunch of them, young and old, that have felt the call of God. Some of them were very gifted and talented upon their lives, but somehow they were hindered, and they gave in to fear, and they did not fulfill their mission or their call. That breaks my heart. I want you to know this tonight. It is not the will of God that a barrier from any person or any event would hinder you from achieving God's plan for your life. That's not the will of God. You're going to have some people say stuff. You're going to have some events happen in your life. You're going to get mistreated. And guess what? Jesus talked about that. You know, he said there was two houses built, and the rain came down, and the rain fell on both of those houses. It wasn't the rain that came down. The word picture he was trying to teach us was, what are you building the foundation of your life on? Because you're going to go through some hell even while you're on this earth. You're going to suffer. There are going to be bad things that happen. I'm sorry. It's a part of the human condition. It's as old as Adam and Eve. But when you're built on the rock Christ Jesus, when you've got a foundation, the storms are going to come, but they're not going to last forever, honey. The storm's going to pass over. Other people are going to be gone because they were holding on to themselves. But when you lose yourself in this world, you're going to find it in eternity. And Jesus says, that's my son, that's my daughter. They're built on me. They will survive the storm. They will come through it. Amen. When you walk in God's purpose, he gives you an anointing to accomplish that purpose. When God has called you to a particular job, he also anoints you to do it. I said it today. I live about a mile and a half from Disneyland. It says the happiest place on earth. And I tell all the people that come, and they go, good, go see Mickey, that's fine. I tell our people, go see Mickey, not on Sunday. No, you don't go see Mickey on Sunday. He's carnal on Sunday. You need to be in the house. Go see Mickey. And we hear this as leaders, you know, well, I'm going to, you know, and this, you know, let me talk to the saints for a minute. You need to be careful when you think I'm going to uproot my family and go move to, where do you move from Illinois to get a better job? I don't know. Well, you move from a little town to Chicago or to, you know, Bloomington Normal or some bigger town. We need to be careful about that. This is what I tell our people, and I'm telling you, the happiest place on earth for you is to be in the will of God. That's the happiest place on earth. You think you might not you don't like a small town, and then when God puts you in a metro area with over 3 million people, you think, oh man, if I could go to that old farm and go out there and sit on a pond and catch me a bluegill, that would be so nice. There ain't no bluegills in California. It's people, asphalt jungle. And yet, when you're in the will of God, people say, well, we're gonna leave California because it's so expensive. You know what? If God plants you in California, you ain't in California. What am I doing telling you this? Where you're planted at, I talked to Brother Tom Suey. He said, God planted him in not Pena, but Herrick. Does Herrick, I don't know if it had a, Brother Suey, I don't think you're here tonight. He is here? I better tell this. Where are you at? I better tell this right. But I remember you telling me, you might not even remember this. He said, God's promised me a revival from river to river. And out there in a little village, he raised up a great praying church. There's something about being in the will of God. There's an anointing on you to fulfill the will of God where he plants you. So please don't go through your life always wishing you were someplace else. Get a hold of the plow, set your face like flint, and follow the harvest because God's bringing in blessing on your life. Sometimes we're faced with uncertainty in it. We feel overwhelmed. Forces beyond our control. These forces are like a river that becomes a hindrance that the enemy uses to keep us from doing the will of God. These forces cause fear. And if it's left unchecked, it can paralyze our faith and slow our obedience. If we don't keep our prayer life right from experience, we naturally slow down. We naturally drift into being lukewarm. You don't have to pray to be lukewarm. You don't have to pray to backslide. Just stop praying. And you will notice the criticism level of your life goes way up here. And the pride of your life goes way up here. And all of a sudden, you've got all the answers. And all of a sudden, you're out of the will of God. And that's why some of us need to get hit in the face with the will of God to wake up to realize that it's all about him and it's not about me. I am following him. I'm not asking him to go with me. No, I've tried that. It don't work. I'm asking him, tell me where you're going, Lord. I'm like, oh, Elisha, I'm going to follow you. Where are you going? I'm going to go with you. You're going to stay right here. Then I'm a happy camper right here next to you. If you're going to take me into the future, I'm going to move with you right now. We follow him. God wants to give us a double portion, anointing, to break through the barriers of fear. You've got to break through the fear of failure. You got to pray through it. You do it in the furnace of your prayer closet. You break through. Fear will hold us back. It comes from the evil one. It's a spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound, settled mind. That means peace. All of us will face the fear of failure. But if we're afraid, We will miss the windows of opportunity that God brings to us. So every Sunday, pastors, the Lord's told me, and I'll tell you, try this next Sunday. Every Sunday, he said, you look at the people in these congregations. There's miracles and wonders in every one of these services. You just got to now be sensitive to me. Discern what I'm doing right here. And I'm praising God and I'm smiling at people. Are you the one? Is there a miracle over here? Where is it? And it creates an atmosphere of expectancy. People come to church expecting to get healed. People come to church. We had a lady that it never rains in Southern California. Well, one Sunday it did rain, and she couldn't get to the mega church that she was going to go to. She was driving an hour to mega church. And so she punched in Pentecostal church. My son has worked real hard. If you come to Orange County and punch in Pentecostal church on Google, Spirit and Truth is the first church that hops up there. And so she came. She's a sweet gal. She brought her whole family. Her husband couldn't come. She was Indian, and they owned a lot of stuff. Came in the port of L.A. And she came and she liked it. And so she started coming three or four times. She said, "I want to congregate here. Can I be a member here?" I said, "You love Jesus?" She said, "Yes." "You want to go to heaven?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Yeah, you can be a member here. That'll work." Now there's a whole lot of distance between here and heaven, but if that's where you start at, you do it your way. I'm gonna do it my way. Okay. There's a whole lot of distance, but now we get gradual steps here. So she's coming, worshiping, her kids are praying, they're getting the Holy Ghost, and she comes to me about 4 weeks later, and she said, "Pastor," she said, "we have a container in the port of L.A., and they've held it up there." She said, "I'm going to lose my business if we don't get that container." And it's set there for over a month, and they won't let anything come in or out. And I don't know if it was political, I don't know what it was, but the whole port of L.A. was locked up. And so she said, will you pray? I said, yes, I will pray. And I went to praying. I said, Lord, you brought that lady here. I don't know about any of those other containers. I pray you'd bless them. But I know this one lady, she's coming, she's being faithful. And I believe if we give God our best, he will give us his best. And so she said, I'll be praying with you. And so that was a week. I prayed every day. I was banging that against heaven. Lord, you got to do that for this lady. I don't even hardly know who she is, but Lord, give her a sign that she's in a Holy Ghost church, that you know where I'm going with this. She came back in Sunday. She came up to the altar. She was smiling. I said, did you get a letter? She said, they called us and they released it and we got all of our product out of there. She said, it saved us over $30,000. Cha-ching. Praise God. God can take something held up that man says it can't move out of a port of L.A., and God can say, oh, yeah, we're going to let it go, and you're going to come empty it all out. That's when people come expecting that. They believe that when you come into the presence of God, wherever the presence of God is, the power of God is always there. And being a classical Pentecostal, what we're raised with, this is all I've ever known. It's all I want to know. And I want to keep growing in it, but I'm not looking for something else. I've already proven all that. But I want to tell you something. We get so accustomed to a move of God. We had a sweeping move of God right here tonight during this worship team. We need to know whenever the power of God is there, I don't know what you need, but it's Holy Ghost time. When you sense the presence of God, that means destiny has come on your life right now. However you sense the Holy Spirit, that means that's the anointing of God. And the anointing always breaks the yoke off of you. It breaks the sorrow, the depression, the grief, the doubt, the fear. And when you pray that in, when you have a daily prayer, you have that blessing resting on you. We've got to rebuke the spirit of fear and everything that it brings. We can do all things through Christ. Somebody repeat this. As a New Testament Holy Ghost-filled disciple, I belong to Jesus. I am his servant. He is my God. He will enable me to succeed in my mission. Somebody praise God for that right now. That's the will of God. That is the will of God. I'm almost done. You got to pray through the fear of being criticized. You got to pray through that fear of being judged by others. The mighty men of God that achieved great things in history, they didn't permit the fear of criticism from keeping them from being faithful. They pushed on knowing that they had a work to do. No obstacle whatsoever would hinder them. One of the worst sins in the modern church is comparing ourselves among ourselves. Okay, have you got the slides on? You got the colors and all this stuff. And I'm like, it's all cool, it's all good. I love it. I like all that stuff, but I don't need it. I don't need it. I'm not against it at all. It's an expression of worship. I'm not against it. But we got to remember where the power is. Because if we're not careful, we got too many young people looking at YouTube. Well, I'm looking at this church. Well, I miss my church, but I'm watching this service over here because they got a great YouTube channel and they really have a move of God. Okay, you need to go help your church have a move of God. Turn the dumb YouTube off. Go to church. Fast 3 days next week and see if you don't have a move. Oh, my God. Yeah, why don't you try that? Why don't you say no to the strongest drive in your body to feed yourself and say yes to the strongest spiritual hunger in your heart to say, I've got to have a breakthrough. I'm tired of being sick and tired. I'm going to pray into this thing. I haven't asked enough. I'm going to pray until. I'm not going to worry about people criticizing me. We need to pray through this fear of being inadequate. We don't have enough. God appeared to Moses at the burning bush. He revealed his power and his majesty. And Moses had this legitimate fear. He said, I don't talk well. Exodus 4 and 10. He said, oh, Lord, I'm not eloquent. Neither before or since you have spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech. I'm slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, time out. Who made your mouth? Who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? It's all for my glory. Now, therefore, go. See, it's forward. Kingdom of God is forward. He said, go, and I will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what to say. So when you're preparing a sermon, young preacher, do the best you can. Pray like crazy. Set yourself on fire, and let people come and watch you burn.
Don't worry about, well, it should be better counseling. You do counseling in the office. When you get up to speak, if it's preaching, let there be fire because you prayed through an anointing. You've been in the furnace of your prayer room. God, give me that mantle. I want something more. I want the blessing of the firstborn. I want that double portion ministry. I don't want to just do as good as my predecessor. I got a church and I followed a man. No, I want to take it on further, like what Elisha did. Elijah did 5 miracles in his life, and Elisha did 9 and he died. And the school of prophet boys said, well, he didn't double. You're not waiting long enough. See, your timetable is not God's timetable. Do you remember? Yeah. Elisha is dead in the grave. They put a dead man in there. He fell on top of him, and the dead man came back to life. The grave spoke. Elisha was dead, but God made sure that he got the 10th miracle. God's going to bring it all to pass. It's not up to us to decide that. I got to say this. So I went to, because of the times, for the first time in years, and it snowed. It snowed down there. It never snows, you know. And so they shut the whole state down, you know. They had a half inch of snow, and so they... Everything was closed down, and so I wanted to see Sister Tenney, and she's in a adult care thing, you know, and she's got her car, but she's there all the time, and she said, oh, I hate for you to get out, son, to come see me because there's snow. I said, just pray for me. I think I'll be all right, because by the time I got there, the snow had melted. Nothing was open, so I had to Holiday Inn make her a chicken salad, and I took it to her and her little table and Sister Tenney, and I've known her for years, and we sit down, and she said, Tom, what do you think faith means? And I said, well, you know, faith is substance, things hoped for, and we're talking a little bit. She said, well, what's the, and I'm going in there to get some gems, man, and I know she's got it. She's got books open, she's studying. She said, well, tell me what is the difference between faith and trust? I said, well, you know, when you trust God, you trust God. I'm like, what do you do? She said, let me tell you what I found. She said, faith is believing that God can do it. But she says, trust is allowing him to do it his way and in his time. Trust. When you have that anointing on you, it's like, well, it happened. It hasn't happened yet. You always put yet on it. That prodigal son hasn't come back yet, but he's on his way. That daughter is coming home. When the enemy tells you you're not qualified or good enough to speak for God, you go in the power of God's might with an understanding that God will speak through you. You will deliver messages to hungry hearts. It's going to bring healing and forgiveness and deliverance, because when we believe God is with us, that belief destroys the fear of speaking for him to others. Somebody said amen. I prayed. They asked me through the years in the city of Orange. I've lived there for 26 years, and they asked me to come and pray at the invocation for their city council. I'm always happy to do it and try to serve them any way I can. And so they got a new mayor, and the mayor said, Pastor Copper, we're so glad you've come through the years, and I'm glad to meet you. He said, could you? You know, he called me. He said, could you come? He said, well, the reason I'm calling you and not just sending you a letter is, he said, I wanted to ask you, when you come and pray, can you pray but not mention the name Jesus? And he said, because Burbank got sued, and so we don't, because it's all televised, so, you know, you're going to, you know. And he said, can you pray and just say whatever title, Father, whatever, but don't, because if you say Jesus, you're cutting people out. And I said, Mr. Mayor, with all due respect, I was being as nice as a couple could be. The farmer in me was, I said, with all due respect, sir, I said, if I take Jesus out, we're not going to be able to help anybody. I said, I cannot come and pray if I can't pray in Jesus' name. He served for 2 years. They voted him out. The new mayor gets in. He sends me a letter. Will you come? And so I called back the secretary. I said, I'll come, but, you know, the reason I didn't come for the 2 years, and she said, oh, no, 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 no,
No, he's a believer. You can pray in Jesus' name. She knew exactly what I was saying. So sometimes you're going to get the door shut, but pray until. And now God's given us favor with that city council. We need them right now because we're trying to buy a piece of property, and we've got to have them. And they're saying, we want more churches in the city of Orange. And they're saying, we'll back you and we'll do it. And so all of that turns around. So, amen. Hallelujah. I'm closing with this. Stay close to your prophet, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Go where he goes. Don't stay where you are. When he has told you that he is going to a location, you go like some of you have done. If you will choose to go with him, he will lead you through the battle to a place of victory. He will give you a double portion of courage, a double portion of boldness, a double portion of faith, a double portion of perseverance to push through, and you're going to do a great work for God. You believe that? Stand with me right now. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is here. Take a moment and thank the Lord right now for Elisha's ministry. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for these young people, God. Thank you for my precious ministers, their wives. Thank you, Lord, for the elders that are here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I want to pray for you right now. If you need to leave, you're dismissed. You can go. But if you want a double portion, come close right now. Just come to the altar right now. Anybody here? You're a young person? I'd like for all the ministers, if you're able to come right here, just come and stand. Amen. Amen. Let's have a little family time of prayer here right now. I don't know what you're going through, but God's got the answer right here tonight. There's a place in God that you can go to that you haven't gotten yet. There's going to be restoration for some of you here tonight. I really feel tonight, I really sense when I came up here that there's some young people that God's dealing with. So please don't dismiss this. The Holy Ghost is talking in this house. Amen. I want to speak a word over you, and then Brother Calthorpe, if you and the board, if you would do this, just kind of move through and just bless people and pray for them right now. I believe when these ministers touch you, there's going to be an anointing that falls on you. I believe that God's got the next generation already figured out. God's got your life already figured out. God's got the finances. Those of you that are single, God's got the right marriage partner for you. Don't worry about that. You pastors, God knows the next dimension. God knows the next step where you're going. God knows the breakthrough you need with new life class and new converts. And God's bringing elders to you. God's bringing the finances to you, pastors. It's coming now. It's coming. Hallelujah. It's just the yet part. We're trusting him. We're giving him time right now. He's bringing it right now. I see that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Everybody wants to have an outpouring on you right now, but double portion. Lift your hands up with me right now. Would you surrender to the Lord? I'm lifting up holy hands. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for these precious people, Lord. I thank you for the calling on their lives, God. That's right. I thank you for what you promised them, Lord. God, I speak against that doubt. When you spoke to them, Lord, I'm praying for every pastor here that you gave a vision to, and it hasn't come to pass yet. But I speak to you, man of God, woman of God, it will come to pass. The hand of the Lord is on your life. You didn't miss the will of God. No. You keep praying it in. Just a little while longer, you keep praying it in. I pray, Lord, for our pastors that, Lord, by Christmas of this year, there would be visible signs of miracles, Lord, in their churches. I'm praying for pastors that need larger buildings right now, that you would open doors, God, that need finances. I pray that you would increase the tithe in every church in the Illinois district, God. I pray that you would bless, Lord, the saints, God. I pray, God, that your anointing would fall right now, God. Break the fear off of us, God. Break the fear out of us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Break the doubt out, Lord, right now, Lord. That spirit of inadequacy, Lord, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let that double portion anointing rest on families here, God. Restore marriages, God. Hallelujah. I'm praying for prodigal sons and daughters. Babies that we dedicated at the altar. They're not serving God today. I pray, God, that you would call them in, Lord. Let a sound from heaven move off of this campground out here in the country. Touch them wherever they're at, God. Send an angel, Lord, to touch that prodigal daughter, Lord, that prodigal son, Lord. Let somebody get a phone call this month from a lost loved one saying, I want to come back and see you.
I have a memory of when God had his hand on my life. In Jesus' name. Somebody claim that in Jesus' name right now. The Holy Ghost is moving out of this tabernacle right now. Hallelujah. There are angels ministering right now. It's way beyond where we're at in here. God is at work. God is at work. I pray for every marriage, God, that you would restore the joy in these marriages. I pray for every pastor's wife, every minister's wife, that you would strengthen them, Lord. Protect them from harm, God. Give them joy as they serve their husbands and their church families, Lord. I pray, God, that you would let your peace rest upon them, Lord. Hallelujah. You're good enough, every one of you. You have what God needs to be a blessing in your community. You are a chosen vessel. I'm not talking about the person next to you. I'm talking to you. You are a chosen vessel. Hallelujah. If there's any sin in this altar, forgive us of our sins, God. We know you can't bless sin, Lord. Forgive us of our sins, God. Oh, Lord, forgive us, God. Hallelujah. We confess it, God. Forgive us of our fear, Lord. Forgive us of our doubt. No more doubt. No, believe. I pray, God, a double portion of faith would fall on everybody in this house, Lord. Faith to believe, God, for the supernatural. Faith to believe, Lord, that the blessing is on the way, God. Let us be people of great faith, God. Thank you. Hallelujah. If something's happening in your spirit or in your body right now and God's moving, why don't you praise him for it? Hallelujah.
Victory lives. I will dance out. I will crush this support.